The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 14, Text 19, the matter of Forest of Material Enjoyment, given on June 1996 at Kishore Kishori Mandir, Chicago.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Kvachichcha dushahena kaya bhyantara vanina Grihita sarasvakundabhaya krudyate Kvachichcha And sometimes, dusasena, unbearable, kaya abhyantara vanina, because of the fire of hunger and thirst within the body, grihita sara, whose patience is exhausted, svakutumbaya, unto his own family members, krudyati, he becomes angry. Translate. Sometimes, due to bodily hunger and thirst, the conditioned soul becomes so disturbed that he loses his patience and becomes angry with his own beloved sons, daughters, and wife. Thus, being unkind to them, he suffers all the more. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Vidyapati Thakur has sung, Thatala Saikate Paribindu Sam Sutamita Ramani Samaje. The happiness of family life is compared to a drop of water in the desert. No one can be happy in family life. According to the Vedic civilization, one cannot give up the responsibilities of family life, but today everyone is giving up family life by divorce. This is due to the miserable condition experienced in the family. Sometimes due to misery, one becomes very hardened toward his affectionate sons, daughters, and wife. This is but part of the blazing fire of the forest of material life. Sometimes, due to bodily hunger and thirst, the conditioned soul becomes so disturbed that he loses his patience and becomes angry with his own beloved sons, daughters, and wife. Thus, being unkind to them, he suffers all the more. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tadati Swapadam Tikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Upesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostate Thapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Drishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Adidanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
This verse is from the chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Forest of Enjoyment. Herein it is explained the illusory nature of the pleasures of this material existence. Krishna explains in Gita, Yehi samsparashitra bhoga dukha shonaya evate atyanta vanta konte anate shuramate bhuta. That the pleasures of this world are temporary, and therefore an intelligent person does not participate in the various pleasures derived due to the contact of the senses and their objects, because such pleasures are actually the source of misery. Sri Prahlad Maharaj has said, if you want to be happy in this material existence, there's an easy process. Simply stop trying to be happy in this material existence. Because the pursuit of happiness through material enjoyment is the source of all suffering. Maya literally means, as Srila Prabhupada has translated, that which is not. In other words, the material energy is constantly presenting illusory offers to us, advertising that you will find pleasure if you just engage your mind and senses in this type of enjoyment. But it is not what it appears to be. It appears to be the object which will give me great satisfaction, but that same object will be the source of our suffering and bondage. Why is this? Bhagavad Gita explains that the soul is eternal. The soul is looking for eternal enjoyment. And that enjoyment can only be experienced when the soul offers itself in devotion to Krishna, to God. But Maya is trying to always, at every moment, in all places, propose various substitutes or alternatives for the pleasure that we are seeking in devotion to Krishna. Subtle and gross. In fact, every atom, every particle of material existence is surcharged with this energy trying to infatuate the conditioned soul's mind to enjoy apart from Krishna. It is not just one place, it is everywhere. Wherever we are forgetful of our constitutional position, Maya is planning in the most exacting and complete ways, thorough ways, to somehow or other bewilder our mind and attention to enjoy through our material mind and senses, with the promise that this will be the relief of all of your boredom and frustrations. It is a vicious cycle. Because since time immemorial, trying to enjoy apart from Krishna, we are frustrated. We are lonely. And Maya is proposing the very cause of the problem to be the solution. If you are frustrated and lonely, you need some sense gratification that will give you life. It will give you relief. But actually, Prahlad Maharaj explains, it is like trying to relieve an itch by scratching. We have a very bad itching rash and terrible pain. And the mind says, if you just scratch it, it will feel better. Prahlad Maharaj explains that when you scratch, it actually feels better while you're scratching. Not really better. It's just some illusory sense of relief. But as you're scratching, you are inflaming that rash. And it will itch more and more and more. And the more you scratch, the more it itches. And the more you scratch, the more you itch. And birth after birth after birth after birth, you're just scratching and scratching and scratching and scratching. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. But see the illusion. The immediate sensation is it appears that it's relieving the itch. But with a little intelligence, you look ahead. Yes, right now it feels nice, but what will the next moment bring? It is aggravating and intensifying the problem. And therefore, children, when they get these rashes, they like to itch, and the parents, they understand, what is Shreyas and Prayas? Shreyas and Prayas, one is the nature of the animal consciousness. Whatever feels good, do it. For tomorrow will never come. And human existence is not to consider what feels good now, but to calculate with our God-given intelligence what will be the best for my future in this life and beyond death. So, the itching sensation, Prahlad Maharaj uses it because actually it illustrates the entire material existence. If you understand that scratching itch on your body, you understand the whole secret that Maya uses to keep everyone entrapped in the bondage of suffering birth after birth after birth. A parent sees the child wants to scratch. But the parent knows it will get worse, infected, terrible. So sometimes the parent ties the child's hands so it can't scratch. And the child is thinking, oh, how cruel my parents are. They don't know what I'm going through. They don't understand. But the parent understands that the child is just caught under the grip of sensation. So therefore, Krishna explains in Gita, Matras parashastu konteya sitoshna shukadukata agamapayano nityastham statiksha subharata, that these non-permanent appearances of happiness and distress, we must learn to tolerate them. We must learn to tolerate the temptations and the experiences that Maya puts before us. And we must learn to tolerate them with intelligence based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra of what is actually best for our spiritual life. Birth after birth after birth, through so many species of life, Nayam Deho Deha Bajam Nalokehi, we have been trying to enjoy material enjoyment, and we have been kicked by Maya repeatedly. And now we've come to this human form of life, and we've come to Krishna consciousness. We're given higher knowledge and higher intelligence, but still the momentum of all of our animal propensities is still taking place within our mind and heart. Maya is still presenting the same objects of the senses that we have enjoyed for so many millions of births. Punapunas charavata charavananam. Chewing what has already been chewed. We have experienced every type of sense gratification possible in all our previous births, and we found no real satisfaction. It aggravates the disease of misery and causes us another birth, another birth, another birth. And we've come to Krishna consciousness. We're given the opportunity and the chance where Maya has been exposed before us through Srila Prabhupada's books and through the Vaishnava's satsang. But Maya is still saying, yes, just take it, take it. Like when you're going fishing, you put the worm on the hook, and the worm looks very nice. For a fish, a worm is very nice. Better than a woman looks for a man in this world, a worm looks the same thing to a fish. If you show your wife or your beautiful husband to a fish, He'll just turn his head and see, where is my worm? So what is the difference? Maya is just putting so many worms, different types of worms for different species of life. For the fish, it's this type of worm that goes like this. For the human being, it's another type of worm that goes like this. And in this way, everybody is thinking, ah, this will be my enjoyment. If only I can achieve it. And the fish goes as fast as he can and goes through. Sometimes fishes fight against each other. Who gets the worm? Huh? And whoever loses is fortunate. And then they think, this will be my enjoyment. And they eat the worm. And they swallow the worm. And then after some time, they actually enjoy it at the beginning. It's very delicious fish. But then after some time, he understands that he's hooked. And then inside, the hook sometimes goes right into his heart and pierces it and makes it bleed. And he's suffering and miserable, and then he can't get away. He's addicted. He's just trapped. So that's the way Maya catches everyone, through the objects of the senses, through the object of the mind. And in Krishna consciousness, we know, it's clear, that there's a hook. The hook in this object of the senses. And if I get attached to it and try to enjoy it, it's going to make my heart bleed and suffer. Not only that, but I won't be able to get away from it. Krishna says in Gita, when you contemplate the objects of the senses, you become attached. From such attachment, lust arises. And when lust is unfulfilled, which it will be unfulfilled, anger arises. And from anger, bewilderment of memory, we forget what is to be done, what is not to be done, what I've been learning all these years. And then our intelligence is lost, and we act according to our mind and senses rather than according to the dictations of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And then we fall back again into the material pool. We fall again into material existence. So this is what we have been taught. We know the hook is there. But still, Maya is so strong. Even though we know the hook is there, we know we will suffer. Still, we're hoping, perhaps, in the whole history of creation, past, present, and future, I will be the one exception, and I will enjoy. Maya makes you think like that. Yes, you will be the exception. I've never made an exception before, but you I will make an exception. She's telling everyone that. But this is the unfortunate situation. When we know the condition of how Maya is entrapping the conditioned souls, and still we are chasing after. That same energy. Human life is so small. Just a few moments in the eyes of eternity. And there's so many suffering souls in this world. And there's so few people to help them. And we've all been chosen to help. Human life is so rare, so precious. And every moment of this human life is the most valuable commodity in all of existence. Why should we waste these valuable moments chewing what has already been chewed? We chew it and we spit it out. And it's reciprocal. If you think of it realistically, the objects that Maya gives us, we chew it, we're tired of it, we're frustrated with it, it causes us suffering, and we spit it out. And in the meanwhile, Maya, through the objects of the senses, is chewing us and spitting us out. We're just being chewed up by Maya and spit out. And we see again and again and again how this is happening. How Maya works through her agents. She lures us. She traps us. She gives us some pleasure. She chews us. She spits us out. And we suffer. And we're frustrated. And then what do? We take shelter of the same process again for relief. What I need is another lover. What I need is another object of sense gratification. Whether it be through drugs, or whether it be through intoxications or sex life, or whether it be through so much earning of wealth and prestige, the very source of our misery, we are thinking, is the solution. And that is the great lie that we have to see. And Srila Prabhupada explains that you must read my books every day. It is very important to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, to study these literatures, because Maya is going to be making propaganda to tell you, this is life, this is success, this is enjoyment, this is relief. And Prabhupada is continuously saying, don't believe her, it is not. The only relief is in Krishna Seva. Look for your relief in chanting Krishna's name, in serving Krishna's devotees, in worshipping the deities. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And through engaging our mind and senses in these processes, we can actually find real happiness. But this type of happiness takes time, because the real happiness that we are trying to achieve through the process of Krishna consciousness comes through purification of the heart. And it takes time, chetodarparamarajanam, for the dust and the dirt accumulated for millions of births to be cleansed. But we have faith, and we preserve that faith and keep the strength on the basis of that faith by hearing every day, regularly. By hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, from hearing from Bhagavad Gita, by hearing from sincere and concerned devotees. It gives us the strength and the confidence to continue on this process of purification, and to give us the power to resist the ever-present temptations of Maya, that which is not. It appears to be our friend, but it is not. It appears to give us relief, but it will not. It appears to will give us happiness, but it will not. That which is not, that is Maya. That is the illusion. So we must be very, very careful to always keep very good association of devotees and keep our sadhana very strong. Because without strong sadhana, Srila Prabhupada said in one purport, that of all my instructions, the most essential is to chant at least 16 rounds every day. And Srila Prabhupada warns us that anyone who does not follow this principle of chanting at least 16 rounds every day, that person is subject to be a victim of Maya at any given moment. And also Srila Prabhupada warns us of the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day and associating with devotees, sincere devotees. Because Maya is so strong, and we are so insignificant. Daivihi shikuna mayi mama maya durakyaya mami vami prabhadyante mayame tataram titehi. This material nature is very, very difficult, impossible to overcome, unless we surrender to Krishna. Krishna has the power to take us beyond the influences of Maya. We do not. Maya can intoxicate us at any given moment. We must take shelter of Krishna. We must take shelter of Krishna's instructions and Krishna's devotees. And Krishna can carry us across this ocean, this vast ocean of birth and death, if we sincerely adhere to his mercy. It is described here the terrible frustration of materialistic family life. Because after all, it is explained that this world is maituna agara, which means that everyone is kept shackled like chains by the power of sexual attractions. It is like a prison house. But the prison house, they are not bars that you can see. The bars are your desire to enjoy. And that is keeping you in this prison. And the very basis or essence of all enjoyment is the enjoyment of sex life. The world is just going on according to this principle since time immemorial. And family life is created by Krishna as a means and a ways to regulate this sexual attraction in such a way that gradually we can become purified of it. That is called grihastha ashram. For those who have this strength and the stability of their consciousness to do without it altogether, then brahmachari and sannyas is a very expedient and effective way of detaching ourselves from Maya and attaching ourselves to Krishna. But for those who are unable to do like this, or for those who can serve better by being exemplary grihasthas, then the grihastha is a way by which a man and a woman could live together in the association of devotees, make their home into an ashram. Grihastha ashram means your home is an ashram. And an ashram doesn't mean a place of enjoyment. Ashram means a holy place where spiritual activities are continuously taking place. So our home should be an ashram. If it is not an ashram, you are not a grihastha. You are grihamedi. Grihamedi means simply envious. Envious meaning everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram. Grihastha ashram is meant to always be kept very, very busy in Krishna's service by chanting, by hearing, by serving sadhus, by serving Gurudev's mission, by keeping a very wonderful, wonderful atmosphere in the house or in the temple, depending on our situation. And in this way, through being ever engaged in Krishna's service, these materialistic tendencies are gradually dissolved because we are simply too busy. Simply too busy. The other day one devotee was telling me that he asked Jayananda Prabhu, what is the process of going back to Godhead? And Jayananda Prabhu said, I don't know, I'm too busy serving Srila Prabhupada to think about these things. So that is Krishna consciousness. We're so busy serving our Guru and so busy serving Krishna, we don't think about the idle mind is the devil's workshop. We have to be very busy in Krishna seva. Then we can overcome these tendencies. They will be there, but we will overcome them by the grace of Krishna. But for those who fall into what Prahlad Maharaj says, hitvatma vatam grihamandakupam, the dark, deep well of family life based on sexual enjoyment. Deep, dark well. It appears to be a nice place until you fall into its depths. Then you realize what a miserable condition it is. These days, approximately 70% of marriages are divorced. Within 3 years, in this great land of America, the land of the brave and home of the free. But what is this freedom? This freedom is a type of slavery. We are becoming free from Krishna and enslaved by Maya. That is the illusion. But actually Maya is Krishna's energy. So, in this way, what is promising infatuation? There are so many songs, there are so many magazines and so many newspapers and so many cinemas and so many televisions and so much propaganda. All advertising is based on this principle of attraction between the sexes. And there's such a great hope that this is what I've always been looking for. This will give me life and happiness. But according to federal statistics, at least 70% within 3 years divorce. What does divorce mean? Total frustration, anxiety, and misery. It becomes unbearable. You just have to get out. You become enemies practically. This is the situation. And here it is explained that the same person who's the object of such love, your wife, daughter, beloved sons, just like Hiranyakashipu, one moment he had such attachment for Prahlad. When he'd see Prahlad, he would lift him on his lap and he would embrace him, and tears would flow from his eyes. And he would smell his son's head with such affection. Then he asked Prahlad, tell me, Prahlad, what is the best thing you learned in school today? He wanted to hear the sweet words of his son, like nectar to his ears. But then his son said, the best thing I learned is that anyone who's trying to enjoy life through material sense gratification, oh father, best of demons, is in great illusion. You should go to Vrindavan, and you should worship Krishna.
Ah, what nonsense is this? He became so angry. He told Sandanamarka, the teachers, teach him realistic, practical life, not this nonsense. So they brought him back. And he saw his son, because in his son he saw his own image. The father exists in the son. He's mine. He loved him because he was his. And again, tears flowing, affectionate tears. And he embraced him and placed him on the throne on his lap and embraced him. What did you learn? Please tell me. Sravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranapada sevanam. That you should follow these 9 processes of devotional services. Then you will attain purification. His father was so angry that the very object that caused him such affection and love, he became so intolerant. He was just burning and steaming and abusing. He was throwing. He killed his son. Kill him. He must be destroyed. He threw him under stampeding elephants. Not ordinary elephants. But the elephants, because Hiranyakashipu was actually the lord of the universe. In the immediate sense, he had conquered all the devatas. From Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, those he could not conquer. But everyone below them were his menial slaves. So there are actually, according to Bhagavatam, we read, there are actually huge, gigantic elephants that actually hold up planets. He threw Prahlad under the feet of those elephants. But they could not even cause the slightest inconvenience to Prahlad. Threw him off mountains. Big Himalayan mountains, he threw them off. Gigantic mountain peaks in the form of huge boulders, he threw them on Prahlad. He threw him in pits of millions of venomous serpents. He threw him in fire, blazing fire. He fed him enough poison to kill hundreds of grown men. He was 5-year-old child. Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni, why a father would treat a son like this? The same son who 1 minute before he was so affectionate and loving toward, he was ready to give him his throne and his kingdom. Ah, this is the nature of the unfulfilled mind and senses. It is the nature of unfulfilled lust and attachment. Even those who give us pleasure, we become intolerant to them when they interfere with our pleasure. And we find, even if you go to the legal system, they will say that murder is usually a family crime. Murder is more than gangs and everything else. It's amongst people who at one time loved each other and infatuated with lust for each other. Ah. In India, we have the example of Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb's father was Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan, he was such an attached person. He was a very big conqueror. He was a Mughal conqueror. He conquered all of northern India. And his wife, she gave birth to all these nice sons. And he was so much attached to this woman that she died. So he decided, because she has given me all these nice sons who have given me such great happiness, I will build a tomb for her that will make her known throughout the ages. So he built the Taj Mahal. Taj Mahal is one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world. It's one of the 7 wonders of the world. And the great wonder about it, as far as we're concerned, is how people are so attracted to the tomb of the wife of a demon. Shah Jahan was a demon. He cut off all their hands. This was the reward. Because he didn't want any of these craftsmen duplicating anything like this anywhere else, because it will interfere with his prestige. He was a demon. He was killing, torturing innocent people. So he built this tomb for his wife, because his wife gave him so many nice children, because his children were such a source of happiness for him. So one of his children, whose name was Aurangzeb, he was envious of the other children, his brothers. So he murdered them all. Arivo. Such a nice wife making such nice children. The Aurangzeb murdered all the other brothers. Got him killed. And then he imprisoned the father, Shah Jahan, and put him in jail. How he put him in jail? He put him in a prison cell right next to the Taj Mahal, but facing the other direction. So this beautiful monument, he spent so much of his energy, he wasn't even allowed to see it. He was within feet away from it, but he couldn't see it because his window was the other way. And he spent the rest of his life in prison, being tortured. It's all like this. We do not know what these material family attachments will bring about in the future. So much anger, so much frustration, so much hatred, murder. All these things are taking place due to frustrated love and envy amongst near and dear ones. So here we find the Srimad Bhagavatam. 5,000 years ago, Shukadeva Goswami was warning us about the frustrations and the pitfalls of family life based on material enjoyment. In all traditional societies, marriages were always arranged, not necessarily completely arranged, but they were either arranged or they were preceded with very, very sensitive guidance by senior people who actually care about us and know our welfare. That is, every society in the traditions of the world, this was the standard, that there be senior, elder people, wise people, who give guidance of what is a proper marriage, who is the proper companions, how to properly proceed. But modernistic living is these things are old-fashioned, archaic, barbaric. Now, every man and woman for themselves, you just go out and hunt, like on the prowl, looking for someone. And everyone's minds and everyone's senses are just looking for what will give the most relief from material frustration and the most excitement to our material desires. And in this way, marriage has become so chaotic situation. When people see that within 3 years, 70% are divorces, now people are saying, what is the use of marriage? We won't marry. We'll just live together without any legal bindings. And that's considered more modernistic way of doing things. We'll just come and go as we like. So much frustration, so much anxiety in the name of enjoyment. But here it is explained, this material existence is like a forest. And you know the saying that when you're in the forest, you can't tell the trees from the forest. What is that saying? You know? When you go on an airplane above, you can see, or when you're in a mountain, you can look down and see what is the forest. But when you're in the forest, you're just surrounded on all sides. You can't tell what is what. So Shukadeva Goswami is on the mountain. He's looking down. He's telling us what is this forest. And his representatives, the great devotees of the Lord, they are up looking down. They can tell us what is happening in this forest. What is all around us? What is the situation? But we're just in it. We don't know what's what, what's where, what to do, where to go. Everything appears one way, but it's not that way. So therefore, we must every day hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We must every day hear from the great souls, from the devotees, because they are repeating the words of Krishna, who is explaining the whole scenario of what is to be done, what is not to be done. In this material world, everyone is bewildered. Save and except those who hear submissively from Krishna, who hear from the authorized scriptures, which are explaining what is our situation, what is to be done. And we must have that faith. Then we will always be protected. We will always be protected. So with this understanding of the importance of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, keeping association of devotees, maintaining very, very sincere sadhana, we can have great confidence that Krishna will always protect us, and gradually we will be purified through Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Sometimes due to bodily hunger and thirst, Prabhupada quotes Vidyapati. Vidyapati is saying that the enjoyment, the happiness of family life is compared to a drop of water in the desert. Hari Bol. A drop of water in the desert, no doubt, it will give some sensation, but it evaporates very quickly. When it touches your tongue, you think, oh, very nice, but then it's gone. But the taste of it only aggravates you and makes you want more. Prabhupada said, in the desert, you need a reservoir of water, not a drop of water. Krishna, Ram, is the reservoir of all pleasure. We must dive into that reservoir, Krishna, through his service, through his name. And we must tolerate the urges. Because if you take the drop, you have to give up the reservoir. And if you want the reservoir, you have to give up the drop. Sense gratification and Krishna consciousness are opposites. If you want to dive into the ocean of transcendental pleasure, the reservoir of all pleasure, Sri Ram, Krishna, then we must tolerate our inclinations toward these little drops. Is there any questions? Yes. This is a very important subject matter you are inquiring about. How to gain a taste for reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada used the example, if you have jaundice, the cure for jaundice is drinking the juice from the cane of sugar. And in the jaundice condition, it tastes bitter. But because we understand it is the right thing, we continue to drink it, and gradually, as that sugarcane juice cleanses our system from the diseased condition, gradually we can taste the natural sweetness. Krishna Katha is nectar. It is the nectar that gives unlimited pleasure to the soul. But at this time, our soul is so much covered by the disease of material attachments and misconceptions that Maya Katha gives us pleasure. And Krishna Katha, sometimes it gives us pleasure, but sometimes it makes us go to sleep. But everyone's awake today. Tomorrow, there's a beautiful verse where she explains, you will read tomorrow's Bhagavatam, how sleep is like a python swallowing you. So sometimes during Srimad Bhagavatam class, we become devoured by the python of sleep. Sometimes when we're trying to read Srila Prabhupada's books, the python of sleep swallows us like that. That is because of our material coverings. We're not able to experience the unlimited joy of hearing the glories of Krishna from pure devotees. But if we just go on hearing attentively, as an austerity, as a tapasya. One time in Vrindavan, Prabhupada gave a lecture. It's entitled, The Meaning of Tapasya. And Srila Prabhupada said, the meaning of tapasya is to read my books at least 3 hours every day. So this is tapasya. We may not have the feeling that we like, but we know it is good, so we must hear. And we must be attentive in our hearing as an austerity. After all, it is not so outrageous. All the millions of students in all the colleges, they don't have a higher taste for their studies. They have their exams. They sit for hours and hours and weeks and months studying these crazy subjects. Who has a taste for commerce or all these different subjects people take? In India, people are mad after studies, and nobody likes their studies. They hate their studies, but they do it. Hours and hours and hours and hours a day. It's an austerity. Because the girls, they know if they get a degree, they'll get a good husband. At least that's what they think. And the men, they think if they get a good degree, they'll get a good wife. And not only that, but they'll make lots of money. So it's such a tapasya. And they go for years and years and years of studying. Every day, hours and hours and hours, memorizing. For a little money. For husbands, for some material security. We are being promised Krishna, the supreme husband. And we are being promised liberation from all sufferings, unlimited pure devotion to God in the spiritual world. We can do it. We have to understand the value of what Krishna wants to give us. And then we perform the austerity of hearing, whether we have a taste or not a taste. We do it because it is our service. We do it because it is pleasing to our Guru Maharaj and Krishna. We do it for the purification of our heart and our soul. And also, if we serve devotees nicely, if we serve Vaishnavas nicely, then Krishna gives us the higher taste. Shushushro shadadana sya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevaya viprapunya tirtana sevana. Bhagavatam says that if one humbly and submissively serves the devotees, Krishna gives the higher taste to hear the glories of the Lord to that person. If you are serving Vaishnavas with sincerity and attention, then Krishna will give you the higher taste for hearing his glories. So these two things together. We must hear every day as an austerity, nasta prayesha bhadreshu, nityam bhagavati sevaya. And we must serve Vaishnavas to please them, to help them. Then Krishna will give you that higher taste to hear the glories of the Lord. When he is pleased with you. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? I thank you very much for allowing me to try to serve you, this beautiful temple of Sri Sri Kishore Kishori. One of the most beautiful temples in all the world. These deities, in my various travels, sometimes I meet people from various parts of the world, and they tell me that the deities that attract their hearts the most are Kishore Kishori in Chicago. Really, I have met people like this. They have descended into this land just to attract your hearts, and your fortunate service is to assist them to attract more and more people's hearts. This great city of Chicago. For the materialistic people, Chicago is famous for Al Capone and all these other people. But for devotees all over the world, Chicago is famous for Kishore Kishori. Huh? Other parts of the world, Chicago, oh, that's the place of Mayor Daley. Not this one, but the other one. Or that's the place of all the gangsters and mobsters and bootleggers. I'll never forget, in 1971, I was living on a little mountain in Brajbhumi, Vrindavan. Very, very quaint. In those days especially, it was a very isolated place. There's a place called Barasana. Barasana is the place in Vrindavan where Srimati Radharani eternally resides, and she performed her childhood pastimes there. There's a beautiful temple on a hill called Sriji Mandir. And if you walk about half hour from there behind Barasana, there's a little mountain. In those days, there was just two Babajis living at this mountain. Very nice devotees. Then there were leopards and snakes and like that. It was a jungle. Now it's a little built up, but in those days it was very simple. So before I came to ISKCON, I was living amongst these people. And one day I was there, and this one devotee who lived there spoke some English, but such an isolated place. He asked, "Which place are you from?" I said, "America." He said, "Which part of America?" I said, "Chicago." He said, "Oh, terrible place." I couldn't believe he even heard of Chicago. I mean, in a little village called Chicxulli behind Barasana, in the very most rural atmosphere of Brajbhumi, everyone's just chanting Radhe Radhe Hare Krishna. Everyone's just chanting bhajans and kirtans all day long and talking about Radha and Krishna all day long. And he said, "You should never go back to that place." He said, "That is the place they kill the cows." Because at one time near the International Amphitheater, there was these stockyards. And it was the most biggest place in the Western world for this most atrocious activity. But gradually they moved it to Iowa or something. But to this day, it's famous for the stockyard. That's all he ever heard about Chicago. He told me, he said, "That's all I ever heard about it, is they kill cows there." He says, "Don't ever go there. It's unfit for any devotee or human being." Here I am in Chicago. Anyways, to the... because he didn't know about Kishore Kishori living. If he knew that Kishore Kishori was here, he'd say, "Go to Chicago. Very good place." So throughout the world, for materialistic people, Chicago is famous for Ah, these types of things. But for devotees, anywhere in the world you go, you say Chicago. Ah, Kishore, Kishore's abode. Wonderful place. Srila Prabhupada came here personally to invite Shri Kishore Kishori to be the presiding deities. Recently, I was in Paris and London. Prabhupada named the deities in London Radha London Ishwar, the Lord of London. And he named the deities in Paris Radha Paris Ishwar, the Lord of Paris. And one of the devotees told me, because Paris is famous for nice appearing ladies, at least that's what people say. So Prabhupada said that everyone in the world is attracted to French women. He said, but Radharani, she has appeared as the most beautiful French woman.